Dear fellow Christians, washed and made clean in the blood of Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God chosen for our meditation this morning is found recorded in the Gospel of John. I read there in chapter 1, beginning with verse 35. Again the next day, John the Baptist stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon's Peter brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated, "the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Now, when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated, "a stone." So far our text. Heavenly Father, sanctify us. Your word is true. Amen. One life. He was born in a stable in an obscure village. He traveled less than 200 miles from there. He never won an election. He never went to college. He never owned a home. He never had much money. He became a nomadic preacher, but popular opinion turned against him. A friend betrayed him. His other friends ran away. He was unjustly condemned to death, crucified on a cross overlooking the town dump, and when dead, laid in a borrowed grave. 20 centuries have come and gone. Great empires have risen and fallen. Mighty armies have marched. Powerful rulers have reigned, and yet not one has affected the human race as much as he has. He is the central figure of the human race. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah, our Savior. Why was it that one person, one life, had such an impact? Well, it wasn't because he had the internet and Twitter. It wasn't because of bribes and armies. It wasn't either because of a great new method or program that he established. It was rather simply because of who he is. So experience once again the grace of John the Baptist's announcement, an announcement that opens heaven, that stops time, that cleaves eternity. Behold the Lamb of God. Give careful contemplation to what is standing before you, with the result that you enjoy the grace and what he has done for you. 4 people in our text experience that grace of God coming to man. Andrew and Peter and 2 unknowns. And yet we know the unknowns because cross-references show us that it is John and James. So John himself, the author of this gospel, is describing for us how he first became a disciple of Jesus. He's illustrating with his own personal experience what he wrote earlier in this chapter. We beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He came to give us grace for grace. Yes, that cry of John the Baptist opened heaven. Behold the Lamb of God. Focusing on the person of Jesus, who he is, and what he has done for you, is not nitpicking about doctrine. This is what opens heaven. God became man. He became your substitute to take your place and mine in the death that we deserve for our sins in order to establish a ladder reaching to an open heaven, as Jesus describes it to Nathanael at the end of this same chapter. Behold the Lamb of God. Five words. Five words that summarize the whole Old Testament. It was with the sacrifice of a lamb that his just wrath on our sin would be appeased, that sinners could enter his presence and enjoy his blessed peace. And so for 4,000 years, believers brought their lambs, shed their blood on the altar of God, looking forward to this Lamb of God, the one who would truly carry away their sins, your sins. Yes, the sins of the whole world, once and for all. Ah, this sweet smell of peace with God, of fellowship with the Almighty. The whole experience of man in this world cries out with our desperate need to be freed from sin. Sometimes we may be able to help, but we can't stop man's abuse of other people. We can't prevent man's sinful destroying of their own societies. We can't stop sin's plague in our own life. We can't eliminate sin's guilt and its death. It is our own blood that deserves to be spilled. Imagine, if you will, with me for a moment, that you are laid out on an altar, strapped to it along with Isaac. Your own father is lifting a knife high over his head, ready to plunge it into your heart. When heaven opens and God cries, stop. He provides the substitutionary ram for Isaac and for you. Tell me, after that, do you think Isaac could ever look at any sheep in quite the same way? That he could see any sheep without experiencing, without tasting in his mouth the grace of that proclamation? Behold the Lamb of God. Can you? So come and see. Jesus is inviting you, drawing you to be with him, to see his love working for you, in you, through you. Being with Jesus is not the result of your having satisfied four spiritual laws. It's not the result of your now having accomplished four steps to your own conversion. No, being with Jesus is the Spirit-given faith. Eyes of faith to see Jesus, who he is for you, what he has done for you. Do you recall how reading through the Gospels, whether Jesus was teaching or doing, we run so often across this one refrain, The people marveled at Jesus. The crowd marveled at Jesus. The man marveled at Jesus. Are we? In our text, Jesus draws Andrew and John to himself. And John so marveled at what happened that day that 70 years later, when he wrote his gospel, he could tell us the time of day. It was 10 in the morning when Jesus invited them, come and see. Their preceding question, where are you staying, was a request for a private discussion to learn more about what Jesus was teaching. So they went and they sat at his feet, and time stopped. John not only remembered it was 10 when Jesus invited them, he remembered also they sat there the whole day enthralled. Come and see is the gospel invitation that Jesus is bringing to you today, each day. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Yes, Jesus wants to draw us, as he did Andrew and John, to himself. Athletics, hunting, TV, video games, they all may seem more appealing. It's sitting in our living room. We can watch graphs and charts and video footage about everything from the Arctic turn to the zenith of capitalism. Entertainment is constantly offering new, exciting action. These things are so powerful that drawing near to Jesus in church, personal Bible study, can easily get left behind. And yet, neither the technology nor the entertainment of this world can offer you the love that Jesus wants to share with you, to share with all he draws to himself, without any meriting cause in us. He poured out his blood to wash you clean from your sins. He covers you with his own perfect obedience to make you his righteous sisters and brothers. Neither the technology nor the entertainment of this world can offer you the hope that Jesus produces for you. For as long as we are just following the technology and entertainment of this world, this life is finally merely a biological crawl from womb to tomb. Only Jesus can give you the life that surpasses and survives all of that. He gives you the life that never ends, the life with him in the bliss of heaven. Neither the technology nor the entertainment of the world can offer the inner joy that Jesus wants to share with you, with all that he draws to himself, the lasting joy of a life in harmony with our Heavenly Father. Secure in his hands. Too easily we become overwhelmed with the present time, complacent in the passing of time. But behold, the announcement that stops time. Come and see. We may be afraid about attempting to share that message, though, with others. We may think, well, hey, I just can't go to India or Nigeria, and I can't talk to other people. But every one of us has natural friendships and associations where we do share things. Andrew, in our text, didn't wait to get a degree in evangelism training. He was eager to tell his brother, tell his family, his friends. He was a simple fisherman, simply sharing the grace that he had experienced. Just as you can. Come and see. We have found the Messiah. Each one reached one, and the kingdom of God was coming to men. And yes, you can carry it on. 90% of adult conversions come about not through the pastor calling on a house, but through contact with somebody that is close to them. It's easy to be afraid. I don't have enough knowledge. I don't know what to say.
They won't listen to me.
What if they have some argument? I wouldn't know how to answer it. But you don't have to have all the knowledge. You don't
have to be able to respond to every
argument. You're not going to argue anyone into faith anyway. Right after our text, we meet two more future disciples of Jesus. In this case, Philip is bringing the invitation to Nathanael. And Philip
did not even try to respond to Nathanael's arguments. He simply shared the invitation.
Come and see. We have found the Messiah. The Lord's solution to the problem of sin.
So invite your friends,
your relatives, and you are carrying on the work that bears eternal rewards. Even when we do, it's easy to get discouraged. Because so many, like Nathanael, answer with sneers about Jesus and his teachings. Like Nathanael, maybe the sneers are even coming from people that have walked among us.
But what happened?
Jesus forgave Nathanael's sneer, reached past it with the open arms of his grace that invited him to know the love and forgiveness of God, the glorious rays of divine grace shone into his heart. And isn't that a reminder of just the grace that we have received? The grace that sustains us. The grace on which we live. For indeed, there but for the grace of God go I. The one thing that we continually need is a renewed experience of that grace of Christ that washes us clean and lifts us up as the children of God, the answer to our desperate need, set free from the burden of sin in Jesus' forgiving grace. So share the grace that you have been given. Come and see. We have found the Messiah. Though it be only one from the village, two from the city, that might listen to you, you are carrying on the work that bears eternal rewards. Taste the grace that opens heaven, that stops time and cleaves eternity. Behold the Lamb of God. Come and see. We have found the Messiah. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, should keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.